Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, do you have a summer job? Do your children currently have one? When is it too young to start working? Or should teenagers just be given the summer off? Saoirse Hanley of the Irish Independent recently did a deep dive into this area and she joins me in studio. Also on the line is Sinead English, a career management specialist with her company, Hilt. And we might start with you, Saoirse. The summer job, firstly, is there as many summer jobs out there as there used to be? Well, let's talk about the ability to get one first.
Yeah, the prevailing sense seems to be that there's not really much opportunity, that you have a lot of teenagers that really want to work, but maybe the jobs just aren't there. And it's hard to really pin down why that is in the specific instance. But there is kind of a sense that there's, you know, teenagers willing to work, they want to do it. You're even hearing, like, outside of the summer with, like, the likes of work experience in transition year, that can be harder to come by. So there is kind of a sense that there aren't as many jobs maybe available. It could even be the case that, like, I know when I was 14, 15 and started working, like, it was a little bit, maybe it's because I'm from a small town, it was a bit more casual. It was a bit more kind of like, you know, throw your CV there and hopefully you'll get to go and give it a try or whatever. And maybe that's kind of that, I suppose, more lackadaisy effort is maybe slightly out of fashion now. But I think there's a sense that it's increasingly difficult, and a lot of people are putting CVs out there, or they're putting a word in, and they're not really hearing back. And I think that could be quite,
yeah.
And when you're especially when you're young, that's really disheartening.
But there's no doubt about the benefits of one earning one's own money, taking a bit of responsibility, learning on the job. Learning what difficult customers are.
Absolutely.
All that school of life stuff.
Absolutely.
It's hugely valuable.
It's so foundational to you as a person. Like, when you think, like, I'm in a weird position where my sister is 10 years younger than me exactly. So she's 19 now. But when she was 14, 15, I was looking at her and I was like, they used to let me at that age make someone a coffee. I'd say it was dirt water. But also just like, that dealing with a lot of adults in the room, dealing with tax for the first time, or how you get, you know, set up with revenue, or you're not really paying tax because you're not earning enough, but even getting set up with that system, getting your head around it. I mean, when I did a piece a couple of months ago talking to what 18-year-olds knew about money, and one of the questions I asked all of them was like, well, what about, you know, what do you think you learned in school? And they were like, yeah, I did business class. I learned a bit, but I didn't really know a whole lot. But so much more of the learning comes from, like, just the day-to-day existence in that world. And
yeah.
It's like that getting a wage or just having the confidence to even get a job in the first place. It's really hard when you're that age, but it's really good.
Sinead English also joins us. Good morning to you, Sinead.
Good morning, Bobby.
What about the role of the parent here? Should you just be, you know, getting the kids out of bed, getting them out there, get out there and look for a job? And just make sure that how do you make sure that your child is, I suppose, ready for that job? There's stuff that you can be doing at home as a parent, is there not?
Oh, completely, Bobby. And you know, you can't really inflict your kids on an employer and in work setting if you're not prepared to give them that responsibility at home. So, for example, if you're heading out to work for the day and you've got your teenagers at home, say, I want all this stuff done by the time I get home. And you have to be giving them responsibility early on. You can't make the employer the person who has to train them in the basics of, customer service, cleaning up after themselves, getting something done. You know, ask them to do something, they have to do it. And while as parents, we might be a bit more lenient and go, oh, sure, I'll finish it here myself. But if you're getting paid, regardless of the fact if it's, you know, a reduced minimum wage, the employer wants them to do it properly. So it really is down to the parents to show them how to do it. And then if they want to get a job, let them off and let them at it.
Yeah. You say as well that stop giving kids money is one way to, I suppose, incentivize one looking
exactly.
for a job.
Exactly.
I think that's probably sage advice.
Well, do you remember, Bobby, like, you know, we would all have been told as kids, money doesn't grow on trees.
Yeah.
And that was certainly something that, you know, my parents would constantly tell us as kids. So, you know, if the money tree is constantly producing tenors and twenties every time you go out the door, you know, what's the incentive to do it? So, you know, absolutely.
So, and again, the parent can be supportive here. You might even make sure the child gets up and is up on time in the morning. You might even drive the person or the kid to the said job. You might help with a one-page CV. So you can be supportive without being overly involved.
Yeah, I mean, you can be supportive. And you know, one thing I would say is that, you know, as parents, we tend to hover a little bit too much. And I have certainly seen it in my business where you would have parents who would contact our company. And this would be more for college age kids who are maybe looking for their first graduate job. And the parents will be saying, oh, my son or daughter, they'd like to get some interview training. You know, they're not really very good at this. They're very shy. I'll send you their CV. I'll send you the types of jobs they're interested in. And we just say, get them to contact us.
Yeah, no, you're so right. back to you, Saoirse, then. If we talk about then the age somebody should be going out, and I know there are legislative issues here. There is that under 18s are guaranteed 70% of the minimum wage. And I do know that particularly some seasonal employers are targeting that cohort because they don't, you know, it's a cost saving to the business.
Yeah.
So if you get a seaside restaurant, for instance, you'll find that they'll target all the kids that are still at school because they only have to pay them 70% of the minimum wage, which is still $9.91 an hour, which isn't bad.
Yeah,
for a youngster to be earning.
Definitely.
Tax-free,
exactly. Yeah. And like even that, like Sinead's saying, like once the money dries up from your parents, like any amount is going to be an impressive amount to you because you're going to be happy to have it. But there is that. I also, what was interesting coming up, what came up while writing it was that you can work in a bar even if you're 15. You just can't be serving the pints. But there is a difference one of the experts was saying to me in the piece was that there's a difference between, say, like 15 and 16, depending on how many hours they can work and how many hours that is in outside of school time, because, you know, they can't be working like.
Yeah, so there, I think it's pretty clear that they're only allowed work when school is out.
Yeah, when school is out, exactly. Yeah. And that does then change over when you kind of get to 17, 18 and up, and then you have all of these other things open up to you. So there is that legislative problem. There is also, of course, that the tax perspective, yes, they won't really be paying any because, you know, it's going to be tax-free. But being set up on that system and being able to navigate it is really important, because I think many of us have been emergency taxed. And you can imagine that when you are 16, it's your first wage, it's not going to be a huge amount anyway, and then that gets emergency tax because maybe you're not on the system as the age that you are or doing the job that you're doing, and that can be a huge setback for someone that age. But it is just kind of that smaller stuff, and as I say, that you can indeed be working in a pub. I was working in a pub when I was 14, and I thought that was a bit hush hush at the time, but turns out it actually was legal. Once you're not serving pints, obviously you can collect glasses, you can serve food, you can do all of that, but you just can't be pulling the Guinness behind the bar.
Sinead, is there another issue here around somebody who's worked, be it in any type of employment as a youngster, you know, is if they go to college and they want to maybe get a few extra quid or, you know, help put themselves through college, like the earlier you start working, the greater, you know, the more experience you build up, the more possibilities that you have to, I suppose, seeking further employment. So there's no reason why one wouldn't do this.
Well, absolutely not. And, you know, there's so many companies now that we would work with that are looking to employ recent graduates, you know, early career, and they're looking down through the CV. And when they see something like worked on a farm, worked in a family business, had a part-time job from the age of 15, while the person writing that CV sometimes feels a little bit, oh, then I'm not going to be interested in that. You know, it'd be better if I had something, you know, a proper job, inverted commas, during one of my summers. You and I and Michael O'Leary, in fact, all know that they're the jobs that create the character, the skills, the resilience and the adaptability that employers want. I mean, there's no way if you're working in a family business or if you're working on your family farm that you're going to be allowed to take a day off because you're feeling a little bit tired. That just doesn't happen. Yeah. And they're the skills that they're looking for. They're the skills that, regardless of your age, all the way up through your career, get you promoted and, you know, lead to success. So absolutely, any part-time job, summer job, even if you don't get paid for it, if you're volunteering in your local community, put that on your CV. It gives you something to talk about in the interview. And it could be the thing that differentiates you from everybody else because it shows you've got a bit of get up and go.
Yeah, I've got a lot of texts coming in here. We might have a look at them between us. One says that for my company, we take two transition year students and we train them over that time. Once they completed their year, we give them a summer job. It works well for us and we get great staff. I enjoy seeing them grow and work well. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So they find out whether the candidate is good or bad by doing a transition week or whatever, invite them back. I'd suggest in that text, everybody wins.
And it's a huge boost of confidence. Like if you've done that over a certain amount of weeks and you're doing your experience and then somebody says, you know, an employer says, well, I'm now going to give you an extended period of that. Like that's a huge confidence boost. And it's a nice kind of, it just proves that you've done the job well and that is just going to stick with you forever, that you can do a job well.
Yeah, no, and it's a good way to find out about somebody's abilities, etc. Another one, Sinead says, Bobby, my 2 17-year-old twin lads are really struggling to get jobs this summer. A lot of places don't seem to want students or young staff. That comes in from Kira. This is what I was saying to Saoirse earlier about, I think that certainly when I was a young fella, I certainly think that there didn't seem to be any challenge to getting a summer job. Mm. The landscape's kind of different now.
I think what's happening is as well that the college kids are staying at home. They're not going abroad. They're not as many doing the J1s. So those jobs that would normally free up in the summer are not there because they're being done by the kids who are at university. So making it harder for those lads to find jobs.
Yeah, it's like a smaller pool.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah. Last word to you, Saoirse. You've written about the piece. Did you get a lot of reaction to it? What's I think for any parent, I'd say most parents, and I'm making sure that I'm not any different to anybody else, but I would say most parents would like to see their kid out working rather than staying in bed all day.
I think so. And I think that's kind of been a prevailing sense in the light of the piece is that, you know, there's a lot of, it's something that benefits everybody really. I mean, I started working when I was 14 and someone asked me before, they were like, why did you do that? Because you actually could have had a few more summers of freedom in you. And I was like, I don't know. I think I just, the draw of having your own money and a bit of independence and at that age being able to say like, yeah, I have to go to work. It seems really grown up. And that is, I think, it really benefits the person doing the job and the parent that gets to, you know, have the kids out the house all day.
My first job was in landscape gardening. No wonder I don't have green fingers. So there you go. I'd like to thank my guests, Saoirse Hanley of the Irish Independent and Sinead English from Hilt. Thank you for the discussion and enjoy talking to you both this morning.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.